My name is Amy Esdorn, and I'm here at the Society of Petroleum Engineers Annual Technical Conference and Exhibition at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. Today is September 29th, 2015, and I'm speaking with Don Hannigan. Don, thank you for participating in this interview.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, let's begin. So my first question for you is, you're considered the managed pressure drilling, the father of managed pressure drilling technology, rather. And I was just wondering, that's probably what you've been working on technologically, but can you discuss more in detail what you worked on in your career, you've been working on in your career, what technical innovations you've worked on?
I grew up in South Arkansas, and I had an opportunity walking down the gravel roads to come upon a drilling rig. It was one of Mr. Charlie Murphy's drilling operations. And the rig was drilling into the Smackover Formation, and Murphy Oil Company remains today. Their corporate headquarters is in El Dorado, Arkansas. So just a kid, probably 7 or 8 years old, I sort of hid in the pine trees for a while. Someone on the crew saw me. They kind of waved me in and made me feel like part of the crew. I thought I was helping. They sent me to go find a board stretcher or, another case, a skyhook, and I'd make the rounds. I'm sure they were just toying with me, of course, but about the time I needed to leave, one or the other of them would give me a buffalo nickel. So I walked back home that day thinking, I like this oil patch. I like the people, and it pays good. So years later, I graduate from Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. And just across the campus was Spindletop Field. My class ring I'm wearing now has an image of those rigs. At the beginning of the Spindletop Gushers, it was a time of celebration. But after some fires, loss of life, lots of lawsuits, a driller was asked to figure out how he can drill into that formation without a gusher. Today we'd call that a blowout. So he hired a rancher to pin up a herd of cattle in the pond overnight. Sent his crew out the next morning, scraped up the mud, and he was able to drill with a heavier fluid than water and drill into the reservoir without the well flowing. That is still conventional drilling today. Drill with a weighted fluid with an open to the atmosphere mud return system once the mud and the cuttings get back to the rig. So I began to think a lot about the oil patch. But when I graduated in 1964 from Lamar University, I couldn't find a job in the oil patch. So I went to work for Dow Chemical Company. And I worked for Dow Chemical for 22 years, managing plants in Texas, Arkansas, Michigan, and finished my career with Dow as director of purchasing and acquisition for Dow Chemical Company. During that period of time, at that time, I was 45. I thought if I was going to get in the oil patch, I better start making a move. The key innovation when I was with Dow Chemical was developing a sacrificial electrolytic anode that is used in chlorine cells to produce chlorine, as opposed to using graphite. Graphite is a sacrificial anode. We wanted one that would last for an extended period of time and produce a pure chlorine for chlorinating water systems, except all the other things that chlorine is used for. So that was probably my key innovation, if you will, in the chemical industry. But in the chemical industry, I learned that you should bottle everything up, leave little open to the atmosphere, and use process logic controller, PLC, computers to very precisely manage the critical parameters of what you had contained in this closed system. So after Dow, I worked for 5 years for Dover Resources as Vice President of Total Quality Management. I felt capable of doing that because I understudied some of the TQM gurus when I was Director of Purchasing for Dow. Dr. W. Edwards Deming, considered the father of quality, statistical quality control. Tom Peters, who wrote the book In Search of Excellence. So as VP of Dover Resources, I worked to get the manufacturing plants up to the point where they were capable of supplying components to the Japanese automobile industry, the oil field, et cetera, et cetera. Then I had an opportunity to go to work for Williams Tool Company, a manufacturer of rotating control devices in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And by 1999, Weatherford had acquired Williams Tool Company, and I became a Weatherford employee. At that time, rotating control devices were used for air, gas, mist, and foam drilling, and underbalance drilling. In 2003, I began to look at how a closed-loop system might benefit offshore drilling. Now, you can't drill with air offshore. Underbalance drilling, not an option, for three reasons. Underbalance drilling, you're inviting the well to flow as you continue to drill. Three reasons. The underbalance drilling kit required to invite the well to flow is too large to fit on offshore rigs. Another reason is, what are you going to do with the produced hydrocarbons, the oil and the gas, on an offshore rig? And number three, drilling ahead while the well is flowing is against the Code of Federal Regulations in the United States. It's against the law. So I began to look at how a closed-loop system could be applied. Same equipment, rotating control device to close the annulus returns under the rig floor that would positively direct the mud and cuttings over to a choke manifold. And you would put drill string non-return valves or floats in the drill string so that when you close the choke, you had the wellbore bottled up, a closed system. So in 2003, in Amsterdam at the SBE IEDC Drilling Conference, I introduced and coined the term managed pressure drilling. Now here, you're using essentially the same technology, the same hydraulic flow modeling, the same equipment, but you are not inviting the well to flow. You're using the closed loop system to more precisely manage the wellbore pressure profile. You can speed up the rig's mud pumps and increase the equivalent mud weight or the bottom hole pressure. You can slow the rig's mud pumps down. You can decrease the bottom hole pressure almost by the speed of sound. On the backside, on the annulus return side, you have the choke. You can close the choke. Keep the mud pumps running consistent rate, but close the choke. You can instantly change the bottom hole pressure. So choke manipulation and circulation rate. Now you have two wonderful tools that you can quickly adjust the bottom hole pressure. Very critical when you're drilling in narrow margins between the formation pressure and the formation's fracture pressure. That's called the safe drilling margin. if you don't have a bottom hole pressure greater than the formation pressure, you're going to have a kick, an influx. If you exceed the fracture gradient, the ability of the open hole, uncased, you know, the uncased hole, you exceed the ability of the rock's capability, now you're going to experience losses. Now, losses are a problem because your fluid column, the annulus fluid column, is your primary well control barrier. You don't want to lose that primary well control barrier. So I identified that technique as the constant bottom hole pressure variation of managed pressure drilling, because whether the rig's mud pumps are on or off, you keep a constant equivalent mud weight. That allows you to stay within the margin. Without this technology, conventionally, when you turn the rig's mud pumps off, you lose bottom hole pressure because you've lost the circulating annulus friction pressure. And when you turn the rig's mud pumps on, you have the hydrostatic mud weight plus the circulating annulus friction pressure. With the constant bottom hole pressure variation of MPD, you keep a constant bottom hole pressure. Then I decided another variation of MPD would be pressurized mudcap drilling. Now here's where you have a closed system, but you're drilling and you encounter total losses. You drill into a cavernous void, an underground cave, if you will. Now your primary fluid column in the annulus goes into this loss zone, and the pipe gets differentially stuck. You consume many thousands of barrels, in some cases, of drilling fluid, trying to keep the hole full. But with the pressurized mudcap drilling, when you drill into one of these severe loss zones, you switch over and drill with seawater and let your mud and the cuttings go into the cavern that would otherwise cause severe loss circulation. Now, it's called pressurized mudcap drilling because while you're drilling with the sacrificial fluid, the seawater, there's a risk of gas migration up the annulus. So you pump a heavy viscous mud into the annulus at the surface, and you keep kind of topping it off, topping it off, topping it off, as you continue drilling with seawater until you get through the loss circulation zone. Pressurized mudcap drilling. The mudcap is that annulus of heavy viscous mud that you spot to prevent gas migration to the surface. The third variation is dual gradient. Here's where you have, by several means, two pressure versus depth gradients in the annulus returns path. Dual gradient allows you to change the bottom hole pressure by either injecting inert gas down a parasite string at some point into the annulus. You have one depth versus pressure gradient above. It's lighter, if you will, than the one below. And you can adjust that by the amount of gas, inert gas, that you're injecting. Another technique is using subsea pumps. That is the technique that Chevron is using today with Chevron's deepwater dual gradient drilling project, where they would use pumps on the seafloor to return the mud and cuttings, as opposed to having a marine riser filled with heavy mud and cuttings that would overbalance the formation. And they can adjust the speed of the subsea pumps and change the equivalent mud weight. The fourth variation is really kind of a safety first spin on MPD. Here's where you're drilling with a conventional wisdom fluids program. Unlike constant bottom hole pressure variation, where you may be drilling with a hydrostatically underbalanced mud in the hole at the time. Unlike pressurized mud cap, where you're drilling with a sacrificial fluid. Unlike dual gradient, the returns flow control variation of MPD is the one that focuses on safety when you're drilling with a otherwise conventional drilling program. You've closed it up as opposed to it being open to the atmosphere under the rig floor. You have the RCD. You have a PLC, automatic choke manifold system, and you're more precisely managing the wellbore pressure profile. You are able to quickly detect kicks and losses because we have a Coriolis meter, so we know the density and the flow rate coming out. We know the density and the flow rate coming in down the standpipe and down the drill string. And we can recognize immediately with time and temperature corrected logarithms in the software if we have an influx of reservoir fluids, a kick, or we have a loss. And we can respond with choke operations or circulating rate quickly. Another advantage of the returns flow control variation of MPD for HSE reasons is to quantify ballooning. Now, ballooning is when you're drilling ahead, the pressure induces small cracks into the rock, almost as if the rock were elastic. When you turn the rig's mud pumps off, and that's called ballooning, by the way, when you turn the rig's mud pumps off, the pressure decreases and the wellbore breathes back. Now, this is important to distinguish this breathing phenomena from the beginning of a kick when you're making a jointed pipe connection. So when you start making the jointed pipe connection, the pumps are off, the well shouldn't be flowing, but it's still flowing. So this technology, a PLC automated choke system with its software, enables you to recognize a ballooning signature. You recognized it from the last two or three stands of pipe that you drilled in. You can get the signature of the ballooning, and then when you turn the mud pumps off, you can recognize the signature of the breathing back. So now you've got a new jointed pipe connection, and if it's not matching that signature, then you need to do a flow check, which means wait and see. If you have exhausted the signature period and the well is still flowing, you're 99.9% sure the well's flowing. So today, hundreds of offshore wells, that paper was introduced in 2003. In 2004, by the way, I was named World Oil Innovative Thinker of the Year for, you know, some of these concepts. But today we've done hundreds of offshore managed pressure drilling projects from all types of rigs, from barge-mounted rigs with surface BOP stacks to jack-up rigs with surface BOP stacks to production platforms with surface BOP stacks, moored semi-submersibles in deep water, and dynamically positioned drill ships in deeper water. And it is just amazing to me how these seemingly very logical concepts have been embraced by the industry, given the industry is usually pretty slow on the uptake. Now, one of the reasons MPD has blossomed, if you will, caused many people to think this is the way most wells will have to be drilled in the future, because we've already drilled most of the easy prospects, is when does an operator try something revolutionarily new? When nothing else works. So an operator has a prospect that he either knows from past failed attempts to get into the reservoir, or from their pre-planning, they conclude that there's a high probability this well is not drillable conventionally for safety, economic, or technical reasons. So MPD has an opportunity.
So you came into the industry, specifically into petroleum engineering industry, in 1999, is that right, at that time?
Actually, 1995.
Oh, 1995,
yeah, when I joined Williams Tool Company.
Okay.
I was sort of in it with Dover Resources, because Dover Resources have a number of oilfield-related goods and services.
Certainly. So when you first, maybe not first, because there's that gap of almost 10 years there, before you sort of innovated with mm-hmm. the managed pressure drilling, but what was that process like for you to encounter this issue and then sort of solve it, solve this challenge or this puzzle? What is your process like to do that? And what was the process specifically for the managed pressure drilling?
You're going to get me to reveal something here. I use the Gillette marketing theory. The inventor of the disposable razor blade mm-hmm. would walk down the street and see someone who maybe not necessarily needed a shave but might appreciate a shave, okay? And he would give them the razor and sell him the blades. So remember, I was primarily focusing on rotating control devices, and we rent them. So teaching a technology, give them the razor, created demand for rotating control devices. And then, of course, for choke manifolds of various designs.
And so when you were solving the problem with your team, was that, who did you work with and how did that come about, you know, just really focusing on that issue? I mean, did you have an aha moment, or was it just, this will work, let's test it, and very logically, step-by-step testing what was going on, mm-hmm. or did you, was it an epiphany? Mm-hmm. What was that like?
In 2003, it really wasn't a team. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about de-accelerating, if you will, mm-hmm. and working half-time. And my wife's mom was critically ill in Michigan and spending a lot of time up there. And I have a little log cabin down the hillside where I live in Fort Smith, Arkansas. So that was a good opportunity for me to spend some time down there. And that free time gave me an opportunity to really think through the root concepts of managed pressure drilling. And after the first paper was presented in Amsterdam, when I got to the point of describing pressurized mudcap drilling variation, some people from Sarawak Shell were in the audience. They had been experiencing severe losses. About one out of five, about 20% of the wells they would drill into one of these cavernous voids. So when I mentioned pressurized mudcap drilling, switch over and drill with seawater, et cetera, I had an immediate audience. So within months, the Weatherford team in the Asia Pacific area, they already had the enabling tools, the RCD, the choke, but they hadn't used it for pressurized mudcap drilling. So it was Sarawak Shell who contacted the Weatherford group, want to practice pressurized mudcap drilling. Now my email floods. Tell us what this is. So I basically, it was an external pull on our service company for the technology. SBE conferences has been a wonderful way of spreading that word. And it's true, technology transfers. But in this case, there was not a field trial per se. It was just introducing the concept, putting the equipment together, and practicing a very simple process. Most of the MPD in the Asia Pacific area since 2004 has been pressurized mud cap drilling just for that reason.
And so it was just logically applying the tools and the things that were already existent.
That's right.
To solve this problem.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Well, you just mentioned SPE, and that's my last question for you, is how has being an SPE member affected your career?
Well, for one thing, I've taken a great delight and actually honor in sharing this technology with the industry. And yesterday, for example, I co-chaired the Managed Pressure Drilling and Well Control technical session at this ATCE, co-chaired with Deepak Gala of Shell. And so the beat goes on relative to SBE conferences being a wonderful venue to take some of the fuzzy idea concepts that I had in 2003, now case study after case study after case study after case study after case study. The SBE papers have continued to flow. And relative to MPD, global acceptance, I think me being an SBE Distinguished Lecturer in 2006 and 2007, my topic was, surprisingly, offshore applications of managed pressure drilling tools and technology. That helped the technology along its path towards broad acceptance, because I was teaching the root concepts of MPD under the auspices of SBE as a distinguished lecturer, and the implied credibility, so people would listen. If there was something that they didn't quite understand or they had some doubts about it, time and time again I saw them looking at it as the glass half full, as opposed to the glass, benefit of the doubt, if you will. That is an important mental barrier that you've got to break through when you're introducing a revolutionary new way of looking at things, because you have to keep in mind, Spindletop was in 1901 that we learned how to drill with a heavy fluid to prevent the well from flowing. That remains conventional wisdom today. So MPD challenges what petroleum engineers have been taught forever, you know, well over a century. So it takes a little, but when they think about it, if you can get the listener just to think about it a moment, it makes sense. And in fact, one of the interesting things when I gave the Amsterdam paper in 2003, someone came up and said, this makes uniquely good sense. There must be something wrong with the logic. Surely somebody has thought of this before. Or they tried it before and it didn't work. You know, so people are, you know, they have trouble you know, the status quo is difficult to shake. But MPD had the benefit of being able to drill undrillable prospects. Drill wells that would otherwise be wells from hell, and drill them safely and efficiently.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.